Life can come at us 100 miles an hour. You can feel like you're on that batting right in the batter's box at the World Series with that fastball coming right for your head. Life just seems to happen to us. And we're often just trying to keep our head above water and not drown from the constant issues and problems and challenges that mark our everyday. And years can go by. Illnesses happen, divorces happen, children leave, babies happen, unplanned. One minute you're as young as could be, the next minute you find out you're a grandparent, and you wonder, what just happened? I mean, you know what happened, but what just happened? Life can just happen where we're so busy at work, we're so busy with the house or with the kids, with our health, with taking care of our parents, that before we know it, we're miserable and frustrated and trapped and stuck. We're not able, or we did not, throughout all those years, just stop and slow down for a minute and assess, wait a minute, what am I doing? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? Why do I exist? We get so busy with work and money and whatever else fills your day that we never stop to decide, wait a minute, what am I living for? We can be overwhelmed. Even an hour of extra sleep today isn't enough for us to take a deep breath and thank God for an extra hour of sleep. We're still running late to Mass. In today's scripture, Gospel and the Old Testament, of course, we hear what matters most. Now, that commandment to make holy the Sabbath, not just by attending Mass, but resting, isn't an archaic, random rule that God put in place to assert his power over us. This idea of not just going to Mass, but resting on Sunday and not working, is a way to create in our weekly routine a moment and a day to stop, to slow down, to take a breath, to ask yourself these fundamental questions. Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? I know what others have made my purpose to be. I know what circumstances make me feel like my purpose may be, or traumas or problems in my life, but why am I really here? And if I'm going to live and die for something, is what I'm doing right now really worth that? Or should I live and die for something greater? Sundays are meant to be not just a day where I have to go to Mass or commit mortal sin. Sundays are a day for you to remember, stop. I did not create you to work. I created you to be loved and to love in return. I created you for myself, says the Lord, and only in me will you find rest. So stop. Put away the homework for one day. Study the other days, kids. Put away the homework. Put away the laundry. Put away the cleaning. And do things that recharge your batteries, that allow you to be with others that matter to you. First and foremost, God. To give thanks to God for this beautiful weather before the snow comes later this week. To head into the mountains, to go for a drive, to walk in the park, to walk along a stream. So many of us live a half hour from the mountains, and it's amazing how many years go by and no one ever goes. I've told people, yeah, I was at Evergreen the other day to get a bite to eat and a beautiful drive and just take in the crisp, you know, mountain air. Oh, I haven't been there in years. It's just 30 minutes that way. Think they were going to Mexico or something. It's just down the street. I mean, what matters most? Right? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. We forget this because we're so busy or because we've been so traumatized. We allow the circumstances of our lives, the traumas, the sadness, the brokenness, the hatred we experience to completely take us off our focus of why do I exist and what matters most. In spite of that, today the church, though it's Sunday, so we celebrate, of course, the 31st Sunday of Ordinary Time, would normally celebrate on November 3rd the feast of St. Martin de Porres, the statue of the saint, mulatto, dark-skinned, to my right, your left. He died on this day. And he was born to a freed slave Panamanian mother, dark-skinned, and a Spaniard father. Gentleman, though I don't know much of how much of a gentleman he was, because as soon as Martin de Porres was born to his mom, who I believe were not married, and he saw that he was dark-skinned, the dad was gone. So Martin the Porter's dad abandoned him at birth and would not even acknowledge him as his son until he was 8, did not give a penny to his mother, who had 2 other children, and they were literally starving. They were so poor. But Martin de Porres learned from his mom who his real father is, God the Father in heaven, and who his real brother is, Jesus the Lord, and who his mother will always be, Mary, our mother. And so, yeah, his father had him out of wedlock, abandoned him at birth, refused to acknowledge him as his child, did not provide a penny for him to eat, let him go hungry and tattered in clothes, starving, doing anything to survive. And then, as he falls in love with Jesus through prayer, he feels a calling to join the Dominican order. And in Peru at that time, where he was from, Lima, it was illegal in civil law for a mulatto, a mixed race person, to become a religious brother or a priest. It was against the law. Plus, he was born out of wedlock. It wasn't until even 100 years ago, if a man was born out of wedlock, that he wasn't allowed in the seminary. As if it's his fault. He had nothing to do with it. And so he presented himself to the Dominicans and they told him, nope, it's illegal. We won't take you, mulatto. Dark-skinned, illegitimate. The priests mocked him, made fun of him. They were cruel and harsh. That didn't stop San Martin de Porres from loving God with all his heart, soul, and strength and his neighbors himself. He said, let me enter just to sweep the floor and take care of the sick. I won't be a brother. I'll just be a lay person. Well, we can use some free work and help around here. Sure, come on in. Go ahead, sweep the floors. And before you knew it, he was bringing people in off the streets and caring for them. They said he could bring you a cup of water and heal you. He had so much love for God and how it manifested in caring for the sick and the homeless, etc., that people started coming from everywhere. He started feeding the rats in the monastery. And the superior said, Martin, these rats have diseases. You're going to get us all sick and killed. Stop feeding the rats. He said, well, they're hungry too. Then feed them outside. So he did. He talked to the rats and said, that far corner of the property where the wall meets, I'll meet you there each day and bring you food. You're not allowed to come in here anymore. We have to be obedient. Unfortunately, I'm not San Martin de Porres when it comes to the mice in our church and office. My apologies. And then one day he brings in an Indian filled with bed sores at the height of a contagion into the monastery, into his own bed to nurse his wounds. And the superior finds out, he runs in there, Martin, what are you doing? The man is sick, he's covered in sores. You're gonna spread this contagion to all the brothers and get us killed. I told you not to do this. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry, Father. I did not know that obedience takes precedence over charity. The superior realized he was right. He shut up and left. After time, they allowed him to become a brother in spite of the civil law, even though some of the community were totally opposed to it and ridiculed and treated him horribly because of it. Then all of a sudden, these Dominican brilliant studied priests would go to him for spiritual direction as a religious brother only. No education. He would cut hair. He would tend to the sick. He had a few trades he was good at. And he would pray for people and they would heal. And he had all these miraculous abilities, all the while experiencing abandonment, hatred, racism, discrimination. It didn't matter. Because Martin knew in the face of life and all that can happen to us, that nothing else mattered than the love of God and love of neighbor. And he was going to live and die doing that and that alone. Without an education, without a father, without a church that would fully embrace and welcome him. Because when we stop to reflect, to slow down from the rat race of life, and to ask ourselves, what am I living for? What am I working for? What am I doing? And to choose what we hear in today's scripture, that we have been made to know, love, and serve God in this life and to be with him forever in the next. If you remember the Baltimore Catechism, why do you exist? To love God, to serve him, and to be with him in the next life. Then everything else, in a sense, doesn't matter. It takes the back seat. It doesn't matter if I'm educated or not, poor or rich, sick or healthy, mulatto, mixed race, or otherwise. I can love God and my neighbor in spite of people not loving me. Nothing can keep me from this. It was true for San Martin de Porres, who died today. It is true for Solanus Casey, the saint from Detroit, Michigan, a porter. He was ordained a priest, but because he was not too bright, the bishop never allowed him to hear confession or to preach during Mass his entire priesthood. It was true for St. André Bessette, a religious brother who had a great devotion to St. Joseph up in Canada. If you go on formed.org, the app the parish has paid for you to use for free, you can find great stories and movies about their life. St. Solanus Casey, St. André Bessette, guys who couldn't hack it academically, who were limited and restricted in what they could do. They were given the assignment of opening and closing the door for people. Not rocket science, folks. But even in just opening and closing the door for people, they found a way to love them and to listen and to become heroic saints over something so simple and seemingly insignificant. People can open their own doors. It's not difficult. But they did it with such love of God and love of others that they're a saint today. And many miracles are attributed to them. There is no other commandment greater than these, Jesus said. To love the Lord your God, who the Lord is Lord alone, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. So yeah, maybe you're busy. You're overwhelmed. You've experienced abandonment, racism, hatred, discrimination, injustice, poverty, hunger. So did Martin. May none of that ever keep you from living and being who you are and who God made you to be, his beloved son and daughter. The blue skies today, that extra hour of sleep, the gorgeous mountains, the cool breeze, and the yummy tacos waiting for you after Mass is a reminder that in spite of everything, he loves you. So why not love him back? And love our neighbor just the same.